This is CICK News. At Tuesday night's council meeting, a longtime local contractor used their 3 minutes at the podium to question the town of Smithers' decision to award the Riverside Campground operating contract to a different company, one that has only recently established itself in the community.
My team and I know Riverside Park and what it takes to preserve and foster the uniqueness of it. Our town understands why it's important to invest locally, hire locally, buy and operate locally. And the town's own business retention and extension program is designed to support existing local businesses so that we can grow and create jobs locally. My business, BV Campground Management, exists in large part because of the encouragement and direction of Ryan Coltura, who functioned as the Director of Community Services at the time I was hired in 2023. Together, we created a new paradigm of how Riverside Campground could be run. I know town policy says that locals will be given priority if the price difference with bidders is 5% or less. My current bid is 8% higher than the company that staff is recommending, but it's also 9% lower than the next bidder who was interviewed. I have a unique set of skills and experience that I believe greatly contributes to the efficient and peaceful atmosphere at Riverside Campground. These are not just feel-good vibes, but translate to benefiting the economy of Smithers, and I believe the quality of our efforts is concretely visible in the consistent 25% increase of reservation stats and profit over the last 3 years. I really do appreciate your time, and I understand fully that staff is operating within and bound by policy in their current recommendation for the 2026 season.
While the decision followed an internal procurement process, it reopened a broader debate about how the town defines local and how purchasing policy is applied in practice and what role community continuity plays when long-standing municipal services change hands. This issue lands against the backdrop of Smithers' own purchasing policy, which allows for preference to be given to local suppliers when services are comparable and cost differences fall within a defined margin. For some local contractors, the decision has raised concerns not only about process, but about whether the town's stated commitments to local economic development and community resilience are being meaningfully reflected in procurement outcomes.
My name is Samantha LeBlanc. I'm the Engagement and Communications Officer with the Town of Smithers.
Well, how does Council weigh the value of local knowledge and community relations against other factors when deciding to replace a local service provider with a new service provider? And of course, we're referring to the contract for Riverside Campground.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is staff that do the internal review. We do have a purchasing policy, which staff follow. And then we go through our procurement policy, where we have an outline. Usually when we issue an RFQ or an RFP, which is a request for a quotation or a request for a proposal, we do outline what staff are looking for. And then we essentially go through the procurement process based on our outline. And then we bring that up to council for them to make the end decision, but it is largely based on staff's internal review of each RFQ or each RFP submission.
Okay. Do things like if a company is local or if a contractor is local, is that sort of the type of thing that does factor more so than maybe just a percentage of difference in price or the proposal quote?
Yes, absolutely. So we are always looking to hire locally wherever we can with any contract that we have. It is a big piece. We usually weight that very high in our review process. So it is essentially the same weight as price as well.
So what broader objectives was council aiming to advance with the decision? And how does contracting a newly arrived company align with Smithers' commitments to things like economic development and community resilience?
I can't speak directly to the companies that were awarded and what their experience is in the Smithers area, but they were both considered local companies at that merit with the same experience locally for the same amount of years.
In what ways was the public engaged and community impact considered in this decision-making process?
Yeah, so community impact is always at the forefront of our decision making. We are public servants. We are here to serve the town of Smithers. That's the taxpayers. That's the business community. We're always looking for the best value and the best services with any contract that we have. It's just every decision that we make, every contract that we have, it is always the community impact and the local impact is always at the forefront of our mind on those decisions, as is with council as well.
Is the community actually, are they ever engaged in this or in anything like a request for a proposal when you are seeking contractors to manage an already established service in town?
It's typically not community engagement. We typically don't go out to the public for our procurement policies. It is internal. However, depending on the scope of a contract that's going out, there may be some community involvement. And it is always shared locally. It's shared across the province. It's shared nationally as well whenever we do issue an RFQ and RFP.
How does this decision fit with Council's overall approach to transparency and accountability when significant operational changes are made to longstanding municipal services such as Riverside Campground?
Yeah, absolutely. Council has definitely given the direction that our bid processes and our contract processes are fair, which is actually what triggered a lot of the contract renewals that we have. We follow our purchasing policy, which requires us to go out for a competitive bid. And those are all then in a report to Council with the scoring matrix of what they landed. So that's the transparency process of it. It is all sent to Council and all of our policies are available on our website.
The Town of Smithers purchasing policy allows staff to give preference to local suppliers when services are comparable and the cost difference is within 5%, with price one of only several evaluation factors. Vendor performance, suitability, timeliness, and community presence are also meant to inform decisions. This framework raises questions about how the policy was applied in choosing a newly relocated company over an established local operator to manage the Riverside Campground. So on Tuesday night's council meeting, when the previous contractor just used the 3 minutes to speak to council, how do you feel like that landed?
I can't really speak to any of the actions of a previous contractor at all or council's reactions to that. That is not any information that I could have.
Okay. Yeah. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much to Samantha LeBlanc, the Engagement and Communications Officer with the Town of Smithers, for taking the time today. The Honoring Our Elders Legacy Project, a recipient of the BC Reconciliation Award, recognizes elders from both the local Wet'suwet'en and settler communities through student-created portraiture, using art as a tool for relationship building and reconciliation. Smithers Secondary art teacher Perry Rath played a key role as a founding collaborator, helping design and sustain the project's artistic and educational vision, and he is receiving the BC Reconciliation Award this week on behalf of this incredible 20-year-long project on display on the front-facing walls of Smithers Secondary School.
I'm Perry Rath, the art teacher at Smithers Secondary School.
Can you tell me a little bit about the award and also the project that led up to it and then partners that you worked with to achieve this award?
Yeah. The BC Reconciliation Award, I think this is its, I think they said it was its fifth or sixth year doing it, like it's maybe started in 2019, an annual recognition of efforts around the province of along the lines of reconciliation. So some of the award winners I looked at were like more like service kinds of based things, like cultural camps or housing supports or that kind of thing. And ours is a art-based one up here in Smithers. And we started it like in 2005, so basically 20, 21 years ago. And it was before like the buzzwords of reconciliation and stuff were bantered around, before the TRC and those sorts of recommendations. So it was just a way for us to, I came together with the Indigenous Education Council. Bertie Markert is the Indigenous district principal here. Millie Gunanute was an Indigenous support worker here. Melanie Marin was also involved at the time when she was working here. And we were trying to come up with a legacy project that could continue in the school. And yeah, so obviously the power of art is a great way to manifest those kinds of attributes. And so Millie was the one who had the phrase, I wish we could walk down the hallway and we'd have the elders looking down upon us kind of thing. And so that's the germination of the idea. But I knew that the ceiling tiles are not very permanent, really. So it was like, let's elevate that a little bit more. So then we moved into these large 4-foot square panels. And so it's something we do every 2 years, sometimes every 3 years, depending, where we choose a Wet'suwet'en elder and then a non-Wet'suwet'en elder from the community, someone who's made a lot of contributions to our community here. And then I get students to paint them, and they get to hear some stories about the elders as well as they paint it and meet the family. But they don't actually meet the elders until the unveiling. And the unveiling is, we have a Della Herman Theater. There's like full of classes to witness this event. and the family members speak about the stories of each of the elders. And the elders are there. The goal is also to honor living elders so that they can actually feel the gratitude from our community for what they've done and see this portrait of themselves. And if they're Wet'suwet'en, we rotate through the clans, and they often come wearing their regalia, and it's just, and then we have a little luncheon afterwards for the two families to meet and mingle with the artists and with each other. It's been one of my most profound projects to be involved in my career as an art teacher, and then we put them up on the outside of the school, like an elder's wall, to welcome just as an elder presence for our school when people come into the school.
How are the painters chosen?
Occasionally there'll be a student who'll be like, I would really love to be a painter for the elders project. But oftentimes, though, it's often a grade 11 or 12 student. Mm. I've gotten to know them over the years, see them develop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think this person could do this well and has what it takes to do it. But even then, I'm coaching them through the process because it's a whole new thing for them. And many of them are very... they enter it with like hesitation. And even through the process, even if they're doing great, I just know the painting process, the creative process in general, you have these ups and downs of self-doubts and elevations of, oh, it's going great. And then, oh, no, it's not working the way I want it to. And so there's a lot of support for students through that process because that's an important part of the growth.
Okay. So at this time, to be recognized provincially for such an ambitious 21-year project that you've been doing at the high school, do you think that it brings back an idea of the importance of art and how it actually does bridge cultural generational divides?
Yeah, even my classroom budget is down this year, but every time we become visible with an art project, whether it's the visual arts, music, drama, it just emphasizes the importance of it. And it can only hope, okay, enough of the people that make these decisions of finances see this huge value in the arts, not only for a showcase project like this, but just the process of becoming a human being through the creative process is a huge addition to a young person's life, but also adult, anyone of any age. But when we get a recognition like this at a provincial level for this project, it's a huge honor and hopefully a wake-up, an eye-opening thing for everyone involved, for everyone who sees it, to be like, yeah, the power of art is undeniable, and we need it in our society, and we can't keep cutting corners to limit it.
Tell me, what does the actual ceremony look like?
Yeah, we had a meeting with the Lieutenant Governor's office to go over it and to meet the other award winners, because there's, I think, 5 different award winners, some individuals and some other organizations or agencies across BC. So, yeah, we will be at the Lieutenant Governor's house, the government house, just this... It's interesting because it's obviously a big colonial house, and this is like a reconciliation event. So they're trying to merge the government kind of side of things with the indigenous kind of side of things. People will be dressed in all kinds of regalia. The local First Nations will be drumming us in, and there'll be presentations with indigenous art actually involved, I think. And I guess I don't know all the details, but it'll be basically we sit on one side of the room and we'll be called up and there'll be some sort of ceremonial recognition at the time.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's great to be noticed up in a small rural setting by the people in the big cities or whatever. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shake off those January blahs this weekend at the Art Gallery for the annual Community Art Show, opening on Friday, January 30th. Come check out pieces of all mediums from your talented local artists at 7 p.m.
I'm Jenna Savage. I'm the gallery manager.
Okay, so we're here to talk about the Community Art Show, which is coming up this weekend. Can you tell me a little bit about the pieces that we're looking at that are currently being hung in the gallery and the aim of the show as well?
So our aim of the show was to include everybody who wanted to show some of their art and to share their histories or how they took on the theme. So our theme was Roots in the Valley. And so that kind of came out in family histories, cultural heritage, landscapes, and then some people took it literally and did rooted vegetables, which is a big part of the valley, as we all know.
Do you know how many people submitted pieces?
We had 40 applications. We have about 50 pieces that we're finding room for in the gallery.
Are these pieces for sale or are they just for show right now?
So it was up to the artist if they want to sell them. So there will be some that will be for sale. Some of them won't because they just have like family significance.
So can you describe what some of the pieces are like for people who maybe want to attend this weekend?
Yeah, we opened it up for any sort of medium. So we have pottery, sculpture, felting, acrylic. It was really open to anybody to do any sort of medium.
So tell me about tomorrow and the opening.
We have the opening reception, which is open to all ages. We supply some non-alcoholic beverages and some light snacks. And it's a really great way to connect with our community artists and to talk about art and what motivates us and what is inspiration for us. So that'll be at 7 to 9 p.m. Friday, January 30th at the gallery. So come down and talk to some of our local artists and get inspired.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague, Dan Messick, and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.